Hello and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Today, we're talking about a touchy subject, but one that we need to discuss. Specifically, we're talking about how changing security and access policies and procedures at hospitals might impact HME referral sales in those facilities. Why are we talking about that? Well, you might recall that on June 1, an armed assailant entered the Natalie building of the St. Francis Hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma, opened fire and killed four people, three of whom were hospital staff, and injured an unspecified number of other people. Of course, the event caused many hospitals to review and possibly revise their security policies, and how they proceed could impact HME sales professionals who have already had to adapt to access changes during the COVID public health emergency. So, what might HME professionals need to know, and how might they need to address those changes? And also, how might their interactions with physicians and discharge planners, etc., change? Well, here to talk about this topic, we have a couple of experts. Ty Bellow, who's an expert on HME sales, and Ralph Jensen, who's an expert on security. Let me first introduce Ty. If you've spent even a couple minutes in the HME industry, you've probably heard of Ty Bellow. He's a highly experienced HME sales professional, and he's the president and founder of Team at Work, which is a sales and leadership consulting firm in the industry. Ty, welcome to the podcast.
David, thanks. Always great to be with you.
Likewise, I always love having you on the podcast. You've always got some really compelling stuff to say and some really solid insights. Bearing that in mind, let's get your read. Ty, what do you think providers are going to have to deal with in the immediate wake of this, tragic shooting?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously we've all recently lived through the unfortunate, traumatic, terrible incident that occurred in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in a medical office building. And, you know, that just made both you and I think, and others, I know you're going to be speaking with Ralph later on here in this interview, that, you know, what are the security protocols? Are they going to change in the marketplace where we've got, you know, not just HME sales representatives, but we've got home health and hospice, we've got infusion therapy, we've got pharma, and we've got complex therapy and a host of others that are going to call on these offices and also call on hospitals and clinics and long-term care facilities, et cetera. How is this going to impact us? Well, here's a few things. One, very fortunate that I've learned through reading some stuff that Ralph has got out there and others that have got out there that these are very low incidences. They don't happen all the time. And that's fantastic. Very, very thankful for that. But kind of similar to the pandemic, you know, that only happened once every 100 years. And look at how that threw a curveball, if you will, to sales. Not to mention all of the other horrific things that happened with the pandemic and the lives lost, et cetera. But it did. It threw a curveball to those of us in sales, post-acute sales, and we had to adjust. As you just said a little bit ago, we had to adapt. So how will this change? Well, I've reached out to several people. I can tell you that I'm only hearing of a very, very limited number of places that are changing their security, quote unquote, protocols, and basically going back to what they had during COVID, where they're now not letting reps in. And again, a handful of people, that's it. And plus, I don't have my pulse on the entire country, so I can't say it's, you know, it's X percent, because I don't have a good percentage to go by.
Yeah.
Most others, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would need a study. You would need some sort of a survey or study. Yeah. But most people that I have been in contact with, David, are not experiencing that. But again, we've got to be aware of certain things. And I know Ralph's going to get into more of the security side of this, but you know, I wanted to look at this with you, both from the salespeople being cautious, right? Because these are I like to say our people, right? These are our folks, whether they're in their role of a salesperson or they're out there as a patient actually seeing a doctor. And then also those policy changes and what we might need to do or have to do going forward.
Okay, so maybe it's a good time to add our security expert to the discussion, my colleague, Ralph Jensen. Ralph is the editor-in-chief and content director of Security Today here at 1105 Media. He's a great guy to work with. Ralph, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
Ralph, again, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the podcast. What are you seeing as an expert in the security industry when it comes to hospitals changing their security policies or procedures in response to this shooting or perhaps other events?
I think what I've seen over the years is that security professionals in the hospital setting have taken each department into consideration. For instance, in the emergency room or emergency department, typically only the person that needs to be seen is allowed in and the doors are locked. Now, that doesn't mean that the ambulance crew can't get in. Of course they can. I believe that the emergency department staff are thinking that here's a person that needs to be seen medically. Nobody else needs to be here.
Okay.
And they take that into consideration. That's just the emergency department, the front entryway. It varies. I've been to a couple hospitals recently where I just walked in. I've been to a couple other hospitals on a security tour, and we couldn't get in without the fact that we had the security director with us.
Oh, wow. So it really runs the spectrum in terms of accessibility.
Yeah, it really does. The key thing that I'm mentioning is access control. Hospital officials are thinking about their own facility. How far do we want a visitor to go without being screened?
Do you see a really wide variation in response sort of continuing at hospitals? In other words, there's not going to be one sort of set approach for all hospitals, but they're really going to do it, you know, based on their own specific interests and needs.
Well, I think each hospital will define their own policies, but I do believe that the event in Tulsa probably has hospital officials thinking. It's a touch point for them, for hospital officials. I'm sure they're thinking to themselves, we don't want this happening here. And it is a topic of conversation in the boardroom.
Ralph, if hospitals were to tighten up their security policies or procedures, what are the things that you think they might do? In other words, the sorts of things that you've seen over your career, you know, covering security that could impact HMEB's, readers and listeners, the HME providers.
Well, I'm glad you said over my career. That means several years, several decades. A while back, there was a spate of newborn kidnappings from hospitals, and that was a tragic thing that was happening. Because of that, someone came up with the technology of putting a device on the baby's leg, and if someone was going to snatch that baby, they could only go so far before security people were alerted that there was a problem. They knew exactly that it was a newborn that was being taken, and it would lock all doors. That was then. I haven't heard of a kidnapping in quite a while. That being said, into the hospital, I think that security staff have to look at access control first, meaning that someone's going to come in that front door, and if that person has ill intent, they're going to know right up front that something has to be done. The problem with a hospital is, much like a campus, it's kind of open. The people that are in the hospital need that interaction. It's an invitation to improve the health of that patient, to have visitors and so forth. That's the really scary part. If you go into a hospital and they do have a front desk, these folks are not staffed and prepared to address an armed, an active shooter situation.
Oh, yeah. To give you an idea, two of my daughters have volunteered at hospitals and wound up working, you know, the front desk. And I can, you know, tell you they're not trained to deal with anything like that. They're college kids.
No, I'm guessing that a lot of hospital staff have not been trained in protocols such as run, hide, fight. The other one, another one is the ALICE program. And so a person with ill intent isn't going to just come in and kind of, they're coming in with a gun.
Yeah.
We saw that at the elementary school in Uvalde. The person came in, he was shooting, and it was such a tragic, tragic situation.
Yeah, yeah. So, Ralph, let me ask you this. Do you think that hospitals should be doing more about security? And if so, what should they be doing?
Yes, David, I think hospital security staff, board of directors, those folks need to get together and talk about it, but they also need to bring in a security consultant who has the background and the knowledge of what kind of security technology, what kind of solutions are best for that facility. And then they really should work with a security integrator who understands placement of security. They work with a consultant. That's really the key point. It's not a matter of having staff at the hospital who don't deal with this. Get a professional to advise where to place a camera, access control solutions, and use them to their maximum potential.
You know, thinking about the solutions that hospitals might implement, going back to something you mentioned earlier, which is that hospitals have to be kind of open environments for people to collaborate and discuss different types of care and solutions and things like that. And thinking about my readers and their need to access that environment and be part of that discussion, whatever the tools or policies or systems that hospitals put in place, there's still going to be a way to facilitate that sort of, collegial open environment, right?
Oh, yeah, that's correct. And I'm sure that hospitals already vet those people who are visitors on a daily basis, a weekly basis, whatever, but that has to continue. And it needs to develop as technology changes.
Okay, so now maybe it's time to toggle back to Ty and get into sales challenges. Ty, we're hearing some different things being discussed, right? Access policy changes, perhaps technology changes, training, bringing in outside experts to really rethink or reapproach security to make sure that hospitals are doing the right thing, but then also at the same time, trying to maintain the collegial environment that's required for adequate care. Ty, when you're hearing all this, I'm curious, do you think that HME providers are prepared for all this?
Well, we've unfortunately, kind of went through something like this, obviously, with COVID, right? So we have to, the old Marine Corps adage, right? Adapt, improvise, overcome. And we did a very good job of that. So if a provider is experiencing this today, a salesperson is experiencing this today, then it is indicative of them. It is their role as a sales professional to find ulterior ways of getting to that community, that medical community. Why? Well, because that medical community is still seeing patients. Those patients still need our services, post-acute care or otherwise. And it is our role, our job to facilitate that, engage in those conversations so that we are the chosen company that they would send a referral to. So we've got to stay top of mind with the referral source, very similar to what we did at the beginning of the pandemic and throughout. And so that is, looking at all of the different resources that we've got in our bag, if you will, our sales bag, to stay in contact with them. And those are emails, those are texts, those are phone calls, those are webinars, those are possibly virtual in-services. All of the things that we've done before we've been able to get out of most of the virtual in-services, but we may have to redo that. And other things, are there other ways to reach that medical community? Can we have off-campus meetings with them, breakfasts, lunches, dinners, et cetera? Yeah, I've been talking about food trucks, and we've got sales reps now going to social events in the evening to be able to catch up with these medical doctors, et cetera. Ones that they're invited to, not crashing the party, obviously, but ones that they're inviting to. So we've got to think of different ways. And, you know, thankful there's not a lot of backlash with this, and these incidences are very, very low, but we've always got to be thinking.
And I wonder if there's an issue of tone that HME sales staff need to be thinking about when they're dealing with, you know, their referral partners, you know, at the hospital, you know, in terms of, you know, are they more kind of, you know, keyed up and sensitive to security issues? And, you know, do providers need to, a provider staff need to reapproach how they, you know, present so that they, you know, kind of assuage any concerns that people might have? And, you know, are there other things that they need to reassess?
Yes. And there are, right? So I know you've talked about this before. I think we've talked about this before, but there are those platforms that are out there that we as sales professionals have to buy into. I'm not going to mention any names, but where we get certified, credentialed to be able to call on the hospital and to call on physicians' offices that might be associated with the hospital. So there are platforms that we have to sign up for. We pay for that. We then have to, again, get credentialed. So we have to validate we're a salesperson. They take us through some HIPAA things. They check our Hep C and all of these other things that we might have to be vaccinated for, et cetera, et cetera. And we do pay a premium for that on an annual or biannual basis. Okay, so if there is a incident that has occurred that has changed the policy that does not any longer allow us to go in, yet this instrument, this platform, quote unquote, was shared with us that would gain us accessibility, then we need to vet that. We need to validate that. Don't pay the X dollars to get those that credentialing to get access when they closed access. And we are seeing that right now, where many have already signed up for this, and post-pandemic, in this arena, the endemic that we're in right now, and hopefully we're beyond that even, there are offices still out there that are not letting us in. But we've paid for access through this platform, but they're still not letting us in. And again, that is an individual office policy. So you as a provider, you as a salesperson, is that worth your investment? I don't know. That is a financial decision you have to make. But I can tell you that if I'm the sales professional in the marketplace, and a certain percentage, a high percentage, let's say over 40% of the offices that I'm used to getting access to because I have this platform that I signed up for and paid for, now says, no, you know, we're just not going to do that anymore. Then what am I paying for?
And, you know, getting back to working with the hospital staff, I think it's important for everybody to keep in mind that, you know, referral partners want to work with HME providers, you know. Post-acute care is part of the continuum of care, and, you know, solutions that ensure recovery and perhaps long-term care or ongoing care in the home setting are, you know, part of that process. So, you know, they still want to talk to HME providers, right?
Well, David, you've always known me to maybe swim upstream a little bit.
Okay, so this is where you're going to tell me I'm being a little Pollyanna.
You are being a little bit Pollyanna, okay? And I think I was Pollyanna when I joined this industry 30 some odd years ago. But the truth is, and this, again, I'm going to say this is my opinion. My opinion is simply this, that those referral sources that are inside of the hospital, discharge planners, case managers, social worker, referral coordinator, whoever they might be, physicians even in that setting, yes, they want our information, but what they really want is a process that's easier, faster, and gets the service done quicker with less time of theirs. And to be very candid, during the pandemic, I think they always knew this, but I think it made it more of a reality. without the interruption of the sales person, please note, I didn't say professional, the sales person going in and spending time with them and taking them away from their job, they realized more than ever before during the pandemic that they could get a lot of work done. And therefore, some of them are not opening back up to the sales rep. I could tell you today, hospitals are right now the highest percentage of locations that are not yet fully allowing sales representatives back into their locations.
Okay, so this is where I think you might be touching on to something you've mentioned before, but this is where providers really need to start thinking about how they can provide value in this relationship so that, you know, these referral partners are going to want to talk to them.
100%. Thank you. Okay. Boy, right. you don't just interview, you actually listen. I'm impressed.
Okay, so what are some ways that HME sales reps can change things up and offer some value and continue to cultivate meaningful relationships, but not in a way that's going to gobble up the referral partner's time?
Yeah, and David, I'm not saying that in-services and things like that aren't valuable. Yeah. We've got to be a resource, right? So bring value to them. Make their day easier, faster, better, patient care. We've been talking lately, obviously, about outcomes. Are you delivering outcomes? Are you delivering outcomes on the patients that they are sending you? How are you measuring them? This is where we need to change and move to going forward as not just a salesperson, not just a provider, but as an industry. We need to be moving in that direction.
So Ty, we've talked about dealing with the security concerns of the referral partners. Maybe we ought to talk about the security concerns of, the sales professional out in the field. Are there, some sort of things that they need to be thinking about just to make sure that they're keeping themselves safe?
Yeah, thanks. Good question, David. It really is. Because listen, we've been both in this industry for a long time, and these are our folks, these post-acute care salespeople, and I care deeply about them. You do as well. And we want them to be safe, and we want them to be cautious. So just that, just when you approach an office, look, be cautious, be safe, look for maybe some clear signs of some sort of a disruption that might be going on, and maybe steer away from that. That would be one of the things. I speak with a lot of people now, salespeople that are out on the road, and I have Zoom meetings with them while they're in their car. And I always ask them, are you in a high populated parking lot? Because I believe that's important, because I've had some that are in these sparsely populated parking lot that I feel is unsafe. I wouldn't be there. But I want them to be safe in that arena as well. And then, the scanning and the looking around in the offices. And the last thing I'm going to say, this is just when you go into an office building, a medical office building, a hospital, know where the exits are. I sound like I'm in a movie theater right now, right? Know where the exits are. But that's important. I mean, it really is to know those different things. And I just want our team, our folks that are out there, to be safe and to be cautious.
Amen to that. Well, I think that's a good place to kind of wrap up our discussion. Ty, thanks very much for being on the podcast.
Thanks, David. Appreciate you.
And Ralph, thanks to you for being on the podcast.
David, you're welcome. It's good to talk to you. Take care.
Okay, that's going to wrap up today's episode. Thanks again to our experts, Ty Bello and Ralph Jensen. You can learn more about Ty Bello and Team at Work by visiting teamatworkcoaching.com or calling 260-627-8938. Ty's, again, a longtime speaker and expert when it comes to HME sales and management. And also, if you go onto our website, you'll see a ton of articles by Ty, also webinars, podcasts. Ty is a tremendous resource. And if you're interested in learning more about security, perhaps for your facilities or your sales teams, check out Ralph Jensen's Security Today. It's at securitytoday.com, easy enough. Ralph's not kidding about his tenure as a journalist serving the security market. The site is a massive repository of solutions and expertise, so you definitely check it out. Okay, before I sign off, I have a question. Do you want to help the HME Business Podcast reach more HME providers? Then take a quick second to rate and review this episode. And please, if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service there. And if you haven't done so, to make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. You can even get that as a digital version. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. And I'm at Post-Acute News on Twitter. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me. The best way to do that is via email, and I'm at DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering important HME business topics like security at hospitals and how that might impact sales. But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.